The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the weekend. It is Friday, October 8th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're streaming to you live from Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, the home of the Normal National Conference this year. We had a lot of fun, and we'll be talking about that and Governor Gary Johnson a little bit on today's show, but also joining us in our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and quarter sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday, Cannabis Carrie. What's your plans for the weekend?
I'm going to do a little organizing, and we've got some house projects we're doing. We're going to rip off a roof.
Ooh, ripping off the roof. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Raise the roof. The
yeah,
roof
you'll be lucky. You'll be lucky you don't get rained on this weekend, won't you?
You know, it's Oregon. We don't care.
That's right.
We do it anyway.
There's always a 5% chance of rain, no matter what it looks like outside. Cannabis Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. So, Carrie, what's in our news stories today?
Well, I'm covering some hemp issues today because I like to bring it up once in a while, and there's some legislation that you need to know about. Also, we're going to revisit those Michigan raids. If you remember, they happened in August. Three dispensaries were raided. We're going to cover an update on that. And then, you know, I've got a couple of short stories, so I guess I'll just keep on talking until you shut me down.
Okay, well, that sounds like fun. We'll get to that. Also, in today's show, we've got, at 20 after the hour, our Daily Toker Tunes, and Eric Smokesbrud from Madison, Wisconsin, is bringing us the Rockin' Friday tune today from a group called Old Head. And we'll just hold off on any jokes on that. Old Head will be the group today. Also on today's show, it's going to be kind of a special extended radical rant. A lot of folks have been asking me about the debate last night between Chris Conrad and Stephanie Taylor, a.k.a. Dragonfly De La Luz, on Mendocino County Radio last night. I've chopped up the best, if you want to call it that, of Dragonfly, and I will give you my responses to Dragonfly's idiocy in a special half-hour-long radical rant. This is going to take a while. We're also going to videotape it, so it will be available for you to embed on web pages all across this great nation of ours, and especially in California, to make sure that everybody understands how important it is to vote yes on Prop 19. Plus, we've got Hour 2, our Toker Talk Radio, only for the folks listening to us live on Stick'em. We'll be taking your calls, getting your opinions on everything, and getting some more stories from Cannabis Carrie. It's Normal Show Live. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American substances, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carrie.
We know that hemp is a great fiber crop. Researchers at University of Connecticut have now found that industrial hemp has properties that make it viable and attractive as a raw material or feedstock for producing biodiesel. Biodiesel is sustainable diesel fuel made from renewable plant sources. The most commonly used biodiesel raw materials are currently also food crops, such as soybeans, corn, olives, and peanuts. For sustainable food fuels like biodiesel, the issue becomes one of land use. Should we plant fuel or food? But industrial hemp can grow on lower quality land and the same higher quality primary croplands we can use for our food sources. The debate of ethanol-infused gasoline is centered on the increase of food cost since corn and soybeans compete now as a food or a fuel source. The new research shows that hemp biodiesel has such a high efficiency of conversion, 97%, that it could be used at lower temperatures than any biodiesel currently on the market. The magic of hemp is that after you squeeze it for oil production for use as biofuel, what is left is an easily digestible seed that can be converted to a paste full of protein and vital essential fatty acids that can be made into food products. After you have used the seed for food, the oil for fuel, you are still left with the stalks that can be made into construction board products for building materials. The leaves can be made into mulch and to restock the soil of nutrients and actually increase that low quality land into a higher quality primary cropland. As a product, hemp is naturally pest, mold, mildew, and fire resistant, and most of these qualities we already knew about. But as the study continues to pile on data of this amazingly versatile crop, we hope that more people can be educated to campaign for the end of considering this non-psychoactive agricultural commodity a danger, and more importantly, seeing it as the answer to many of our environmental concerns. Now, currently, if you live in Michigan, there are three bills that really need your help. H.R. 314, a bill that asks the government to distinguish the difference between industrial hemp and marijuana. We need people to call the chair of Commerce Committee to ask for a hearing on H.R. 314. And then two bills, H.V. 6479, a bill to form a committee to study hemp as an agricultural crop, and H.V. 6480 that would establish rules for licensing farmers to grow industrial hemp. You can contact the Michigan Committee on Agriculture to ask for a hearing on those bills. Now, for other states with active industrial hemp legislation, please visit hempvote.com and click on legislation to find legislation currently for your state.
Yeah, we need to keep hammering on the hemp issue, because the hemp issue is really what this is all about. You know, I have a saying where I say that marijuana, hemp is not illegal because marijuana is a drug. Marijuana is illegal because hemp is a textile. And that's exactly what's going on here. Besides all the facts that Carrie laid out to you, we've also got, you know, hemp paper. There's the hempcrete. We interviewed the guy from the hempcrete company. Talks about how it's carbon negative for 8 years. It's a natural R48 insulation rating. It cuts down on your heating and cooling bills. We can make plastics out of hemp that are biodegradable. We won't have to have a plastic island the size of Texas out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. You know, we've got that, right? The middle of the Pacific Ocean, a floating island of garbage the size of Texas. It's all plastic stuff that won't biodegrade. We could end that. Literally, hemp can save the world. It is the most useful plant known to man. But you can't grow any of this incredibly useful hemp, even if it could never be used to get anyone high, because some kid might smoke pot somewhere, and so we've got to ban the entire plant species. That is how reefer mad our government is.
An update on those cases heading to court stemming from the August 25th medical marijuana dispensary raids in Michigan. On that day, nearly two dozen people were arrested in three medical marijuana dispensary raids conducted in Ferndale and Waterford townships. The Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard was saying those raids and the charges they produced would shine a light on abuses of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. The defendants say they were complying with state law. The coordinated raids were conducted by the Oakland County Narcotics Enforcement Team after Sheriff Bouchard claimed his office had received 150 complaints about the storefronts. Most of the public is baffled why they needed SWAT squads to make the arrests, throwing volunteers, patients, and bystanders on the ground to lay in handcuffs. All were freed on bond within a week and are facing several charges, including delivery of a controlled substance. Yesterday, 10 of the people arrested on that day in August appeared in court to be assigned future dates to challenge the multiple charges of delivery of manufactured marijuana that they are facing. Now, along with the 10, hundreds showed up in protest. They carried signs and joined in chants in support of those facing the serious drug crime charges. William Teachman, one of the owners of a raided dispensary, was shocked at the outpouring of support for the quick schedule hearing. He told media outlets that it meant a lot to the defendants facing the charges. A Michigan Court of Appeals judge last month asked lawmakers to clarify the state's medical marijuana law, saying the measure has resulted in confusion and arrests that have become an enforcement nightmare. Several communities are currently waiting through applications for marijuana businesses and trying to interpret the law intended to provide medical marijuana to qualified individuals. In the August raids of the three dispensaries, medical records, medical marijuana, edibles, and office equipment were confiscated. And officers claimed that earlier they were able to purchase medical marijuana from the dispensaries without proper identification, and also witnessed open sales and exchanges between unlicensed persons. One of those charged, Brian Vaughn, was the doorman of the Compassion Club and said he had personally kicked the officers out of the building on a previous occasion for not having the proper paperwork to come inside. He says it will all come out in court that the officers fabricated IDs to get in and buy marijuana, and that they had tried before and were unsuccessfully. Now, ironically, Vaughn was volunteering at the dispensary to meet the community service sentence he had for driving while intoxicated on prescription pain medication for a knee injury. He was sanctioned by his probation officer to work at the club for 4 weeks. Michigan Medical Marijuana Magazine editor Rick Thompson, who had helped organize the protest, was happy to see the more than 200 people come out. He said he plans on organizing more protests over the raids and served lunch to many of the protesters.
Well, you know, when it comes down to these raids in these medical marijuana states, Michigan, any of these other states, and we're talking about some of these law enforcers, it's not a question of them not understanding the law, and it's not a question of them, you know, making the wrong decisions about how they'll enforce the law. It's just comes down to people. There are people in law enforcement who hate hippies. They hate marijuana, they hate liberalism, they hate leftism, whatever, you know, word you want to put on it, but there are people in law enforcement who hate a certain type of person, and they identify that type of person with marijuana. This is what explains the raids where they're going in full SWAT gear to places that are little more than, you know, a typical store. I mean, if some pawn shop or if some department store was suggested to be engaging in some sort of crime, you know, in tax evasion or you know, laundering money or something like that, do you think they'd bust in with SWAT and throw people on the ground? No, they'd go in there with a warrant and they'd get the guy in handcuffs and they'd frog march him out to the squad car. That's what would happen. There wouldn't be guns and all of these SWAT vests and tear gas and tasers and all of this. And the reason why all that comes up is because for so long, these law enforcement people have been taught that it's a war. It's a war on drugs, or in their mind, a war on druggies. And so they believe that every one of us out there who are using marijuana is some sort of Tony Montana kingpin type who's gonna, you know, say hello to my little friend as soon as the law enforcement comes in. It's ridiculous. We are the most peaceful, law-abiding people, aside from the law that says we can't use a plant, that you will ever meet.
Another big donor has come forward in support of Prop 19. David Bronner, the owner of Dr. Bronner's Magic Soap, has donated $100,000 to Students for a Sensible Drug Policy. His company buys 20 tons of hemp oil from Canada each year for his American products. He donated the money to the organization to help them mobilize student voter registrations. He wrote in an online column today, quote, "We hope to mobilize younger voters who are the primary victims of this war on cannabis," unquote. Prop 19 would allow cities and counties to authorize cultivation of industrial hemp as well as marijuana. Jonathan Perry, Associate Director for Students of a Sensible Drug Policy, said the donation will be put to good use immediately to help pay for students to register other students to vote, and they are up against the clock. The deadline to register in California is October 18th.
Oh, great news coming from Dr. Bronner, and I really like that it's coming from Dr. Bronner, you know, the hemp soap company. And we just had a story on industrial hemp, and a lot of times the people who are in the industrial hemp movement don't want to touch the legalization movement. They want to be separate. You know, we're hemp, we don't get you high, we're different, we're not like the druggies. In this case, though, we have someone who realizes that you cannot address the industrial hemp issue without addressing the recreational marijuana issue. It's all one plant, and it all needs to be legalized. Also, another note about donations for Prop 19, we got the note that Facebook's Sean Parker, the one who's portrayed in the movie by Justin Timberlake, just donated $100,000 to the campaign, the Yes on 19 campaign, following up Moskowitz's donations of $70,000. So it's nice to see a couple of young billionaires getting involved in a little bidding war as to who can donate more to legalizing marijuana.
In the duh or no poop Poirot category, a new report was released this week by the International Center for Science and Drug Policy. The report used figures provided by the U.S. government to highlight the unquestionable failure of America's marijuana prohibition to accomplish even a single one of its goals. Reviewing 20 years of data, the report shows that despite drastically increased spending of enforcement efforts, including near record levels of arrests and seizures, marijuana has become cheaper, more potent, and more available than ever. It concludes, quote, "The legalization of cannabis combined with the implementation of strict regulatory tools could help reduce cannabis-related harms, as research has demonstrated is successful in tobacco and alcohol control when strictly enforced," unquote.
No duh, indeed. And speaking of no duh.
Stupid stoner stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
stupid stoner story.
Oh, Carrie, I know you hate to have to do it, but tell us about the Baylor players.
And particularly in this one where that intro is longer than the story. Two Baylor football players, included one of its top receivers, were charged with misdemeanor marijuana possession this week. Waco, Texas police say officers were called just after 2 a.m. Sunday to a Taco Bell near the Baylor campus. They found the men passed out in the driver's seat of a car in the drive-thru lane. Baylor coach has made no comment on the situation, and it's left up to the Baylor football fans, we hear they're very rabid, to wait for tomorrow's game against Texas Tech to see if the starting players will actually play. A win by Baylor, who is now sitting at 4-1 over Texas Tech, would enhance their chances of becoming bowl eligible for the first time since 1994.
Oh, boy, the Baylor Bears caught napping in the drive-thru of the Taco Bell. I don't know what they should have been cited for, the crime of the marijuana possession or the crime of eating at Taco Bell. I'm not sure which is worse for your body. Actually, I do know which is worse for your body, the Taco Bell by far. Thank you so much, Carrie, for that update, the stupid stoner story. Always good stuff. We got some more stories coming up in Hour 2 in our Toker Talk Radio, so stick around for that right at 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern Time. It's our live call-in segment where you can get your thoughts in on the stories of the day. And that means it's time to take a break. We're still missing Ganja John here in the studio. He's recovering nicely in the hospital, and we'll get more updates from him as they become available. Stick around. We got some Daily Toker Tunes coming up next.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would tell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
All my friends know the low rider.
This is Normal Show Live.
The low rider is a little higher.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by Eric Smokes Bud in Madison, Wisconsin. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
This week we've got some good old-fashioned East Coast thrash metal. The band is Old Head from the great city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Their lineup features Megadan Tumulo on lead vocals. Taking up the bass and producer duties is Dan O'Hare. Ryan Mole is on guitars, and the drummer is Richard Hope. Their influences include classic metal greats like Black Sabbath, AC/DC, and The Who, and also from 90s thrash bands like Death Angel, Megadeth, and Testament. The one influence that really stands out is Megadeth, which is most prevalent in, but not limited to, the vocals. You can really tell Megadan drew his vocal style from Dave Mustaine. As far as the sound of the music, it can be summed up in three words: loud and fast. In fact, the guitarist claims he plays so intensely, he frequently sweats on his guitar pickups, and it creates an electronic effect that can only be felt from the front row at their shows. You can find more info on Old Head at their MySpace page or on Facebook. Here is the Stoner Grind.
Buddy named Bud. We can't depend on blood. We can't depend on blood. There's a friend with me. There's a friend in need.
Want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. Bomb smoker. So much for that amotivational syndrome.
Time for debate.
Normal Show Live.
And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana and other drugs.
Marijuana Nation.
I saw him hanging there afterwards, a celebration party after the Mr. Olympia smoking a joint. Did he really smoke a joint? And did he, in fact, inhale?
Saying I'm in need of change. I'm in need of change. See, I used to get high.
John said that you and him used to smoke weed together.
He was right.
He was right?
We always had a good time. We know how to enjoy ourselves.
Nothing to lose. Now I can't get high. Can't get high.
Come on, Cohagan. You got what you want. Give these people air.
Days come to pass and the nights tend to last much longer than they should.
I'll be back.
See, I used to get high. The end of the day and I used to get high. That time's ticking away and I used to get high. Nothing. lose. Now I can't get high. Can't get high.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical Rant.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. 30 after the hour and a special extended version of the Radical Rant for today. A lot of you tuned in last night to KZYX Radio in Mendocino County to hear Chris Conrad, the publisher of West Coast Leaf and the founder of the, or the curator of the Hemp Museum in Amsterdam, the court-certified expert, member of the Yes on Prop 19 campaign. You got to hear him discuss the Prop 19 with Stephanie Taylor, a.k.a. Dragonfly De La Luz, the head of the Tossed Salad Division of Stoners Against Legalization. And I hope you enjoyed the debate last night. I was busy rehearsing with my band, but I got a chance to listen to it today. And I pulled out a whole bunch of clips from this, so I say, let's get it on. In this corner, we have Dragonfly De La Luz, a.k.a. Stephanie Taylor. And let's get a little bit of the bio on Dragonfly De La Luz.
I'm a writer for several cannabis magazines. My articles have been featured in Cannabis Culture, West Coast Cannabis, and Skunk, as well as the Journal for the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. I'm also a TV journalist. I'm the global ganja correspondent for television's Cannabis Planet TV. And I have been, usually with my writing, I have some strain reports that I write, with a column called Getting High with Dragonfly, in which I evaluate different strains. And I traveled the world finding the best marijuana, smoking it, and writing about it for these magazines.
I see. So, Dragonfly, you fly around the world, you smoke the best marijuana, you write about it for pot magazines. So, of course, we should take your interpretation of the law and this proposition with a salt lick. Okay? So, let's get to some of your points, Dragonfly. You make some interesting points here about how Prop 19 would be a bad move for everyone involved.
In my opinion, Prop 19 is bad for parents, it's bad for students, it's bad for medical marijuana patients, it's bad for anyone who wants to go their own, and it's bad for the casual recreational pot smoker.
That would be the casual recreational pot smokers without Prop 215 recommendations, I assume, that you're speaking of. Those people who can be arrested for possessing more than an ounce of marijuana. People who can be given a felony if they have even one little marijuana seedling in their house. Tell us how that would be bad for them. What is it that you think Proposition 19 is going to do?
Prop 19 sets out to do two things, and that is allow possession of up to 1 ounce without facing arrest or prison or a criminal record, and allow cultivation in a 5x5 space.
Okay, so Prop 19 would allow a person like me, adult over the age of 21, to be able to possess an ounce of marijuana and to be able to grow in a 25-square-foot area. Let's get that clear, Dragonfly, because it's not a 5x5 area that's written into law. It's 25 square feet, right? And there's nothing in there that says it has to be a square plot. It doesn't even say that it has to be a contiguous plot. So, conceivably, 31 5-gallon buckets with a 12-inch diameter, right? 6-inch radius, pi r squared, do the math, would work out to less than 25 square feet. How many plants and how much harvest do you think we could get off of 31 5-gallon buckets with a marijuana plant in each bucket. But let's continue, because Dragonfly wants to make a few other points here. Let's see. This one, she wants to tell us about how, since Governor Schwarzenegger decriminalized, we don't need to vote for Prop 19.
Now, the possession issue has already been tackled by Governor Schwarzenegger, who recently signed a bill into law that downgrades the status of possession of 1 ounce from a misdemeanor to a civil infraction, which carries with it no criminal record stigma. So now, or as of January 1st, when this bill becomes actual law, we'll be able to carry up to 1 ounce of marijuana with no fear of arrest, no fear of jail, and no criminal record, which is a critical issue for students, because when students have a criminal record, then they lose out on their student aid. Well, now they won't. They can possess up to 1 ounce and not lose out on their student aid. That has already been achieved. So of the two things that the two objectives that Prop 19 has, California has already independently achieved one.
You know, she continues to forget the point that Governor Schwarzenegger signed this decriminalization measure, but it still leaves it as an infraction, a ticket, a $100 ticket. Dragonfly De La Luz, a.k.a. Stephanie Taylor, is telling that you should be happy with paying a $100 ticket when you have the option to vote to have no ticket whatsoever. Also understand that when something's illegal, you know, when it's still an infraction, cops can stop you for that. You know, much like they might stop you for a speeding ticket, Stephanie, in 2007 in Nashville when you were a student at Middle Tennessee State University. Stephanie Taylor was stopped by a former police officer. The reason I pulled you over, according to the tape, was you were going 57 out there. I'd appreciate if you weren't rude back to me. I didn't snatch anything. And according to the transcript, she became belligerent and hit the police officer about the forearms as he was trying to give her the ticket. He asked for the signature, saying, "Ma'am, I need your signature here." She says, "No, where's your radar?" He says, "If you refuse to sign it, I'm placing you under arrest." The tape shows that Temple gave Taylor several chances to sign, but she refused. "No, you don't understand," she said. "Apparently you don't understand the English coming out of my mouth," he said. "You need to sign this or you're going to jail." "Ma'am, are you going to sign this?" "No," she says. "Are you going to arrest me?" That's when the officer reached inside the SUV, according to the police report, and hauled her out of the car and placed her under arrest. Later, Stephanie Taylor used that arrest and a unfortunate subsequent miscarriage she had from the arrest to sue that police officer and the police department for $250,000. If you were wondering how someone might have got the funds to become a globetrotting party girl writing for cannabis magazines, this might be part of the clue. So the question to be begged here, Stephanie, is why you think the rest of us should be so keen on signing a $100 infraction ticket when you don't seem so keen on signing $100 infraction tickets. And by the way, the infraction I'd be doing from smoking pot is not nearly as dangerous to public safety as going 57 miles an hour in a city zone. But let's continue, Dragonfly. Tell us what else you don't like about Prop 19.
However, because Prop 19 actually creates more prohibitions than it eliminates, if Prop 19 passes, we're going to be limited in what we're able to possess. There'll be new prohibitions on possession. Under the new infraction status, it doesn't matter where you buy the marijuana. Whatever marijuana that you're possessing is, you know, you won't get arrested for it and you won't get a criminal record for it. However, under Prop 19, some cannabis is considered lawful and some cannabis is considered unlawful, depending on where you buy it from. So by prohibiting the possession of marijuana that was not obtained lawfully, Prop 19 will actually be more restrictive than the current infraction law is. Because if you buy an ounce off of your current dealer or at a party or at a festival or on campus, then that marijuana is going to be illegal and you will be acting illegally.
You know, Dragonfly, right now in the state of California, it is illegal to buy marijuana from anyone, period. You know, never, notwithstanding the Prop 215 patients, that's a whole separate issue. But for a guy like me, a healthy adult with no Prop 215 recommendation, if I go to California right now and try to buy marijuana from someone, that person will be arrested for trying to sell me the marijuana, and I won't be able to get my pot. But if Prop 19 passes, I can drive down I-5 and go to any number of cities that'll have a Prop 19 store that will sell me marijuana. The whole point, Dragonfly, of having a rule or a system of regulations in place to control the buying and selling of something is to make sure that if you don't follow those regulations, you are busted. You're in violation of the law. I don't see you calling for people to be able to openly sell liquor to each other all over the place. We require that people go to licensed places where IDs are checked if they want to get liquor. I don't understand why you would think it would be something different for when we're talking about marijuana. But let's go on. I'm sure she has plenty more to say. Here, Dragonfly explains how they will tax your grow.
The tax issue means that, well, the 5x5 cultivation space is dependent on, first of all, as you guys both said, dependent on whether or not cities want to allow, want to opt in to Prop 19. And if they do want to opt in, then they have the right to tax us right out of our right to grow, because Prop 19 allows for cities to tax marijuana without limit. We've already seen that in the case of the city of Rancho Cordova, they're proposing that if Prop 19 passes, they'd like to tax your 5x5 home grow for personal use, $600 per square foot. That comes out to $15,000 for the right to grow in that 5x5 space.
Okay, so let me understand this. Right now, under California law, notwithstanding Prop 215, of course, just me, a guy who's healthy, if I moved to California right now and tried to grow one marijuana plant in my house, I would be a felon. Even if I had $15,000 in my pocket, I could still be a felon for growing that one plant. You're telling me that if a city decides it wants to overtax marijuana and make it, say, $15,000 for your home grow, that the guy with 15 grand in his pocket should still be a criminal? And furthermore, the notion that a city like Rancho Cordova can propose a $600 tax, and that's the way it's going to be everywhere in all 478 cities all across California, is ludicrous on its face. And third of all, in this system where the local entities are allowed to tax and regulate, come up with their own systems, this creates a system of competition between the cities. If Rancho Cordova is overtaxing you, you can move to a different city where they don't overtax you. And as Rancho Cordova starts to lose all these other revenues and all their good people, they'll be considering that tax again. And again, this is just a proposal by Rancho Cordova. No notion right now as to whether or not it's even possible or would even pass constitutional scrutiny. There is such a thing as a poll tax in the United States back in U.S. history, where African Americans were originally given the right to vote through Reconstruction and the 14th Amendment and so on, but a lot of the places in the South would create a poll tax. They say, oh, well, you can vote, you know, but you have to pay this tax, first of all. And of course, the poor black people couldn't afford the tax. This was found to be unconstitutional. You cannot tax somebody's rights away. You can have reasonable taxation, but you cannot create such a system that it would make it impossible for people to be able to express their, enjoy their rights. It's just not going to happen.
This is very similar to the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937, which didn't make marijuana illegal, but it prohibited possession of marijuana without one of those special government tax stamps, which the government never issued. So while it was legal to possess marijuana, there was no way for you to legally do it. Just like it was Prop 19, it's going to be legal, so they say, to cultivate in a 5x5 space. But cities will have the right to make it economically infeasible for you to exercise your right to grow, so you won't be able to grow legally.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dragonfly De La Luz apparently wasn't paying attention in history class at Middle Tennessee State University, because she completely misunderstands what the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937 did. It did not create a tax that was so expensive that people couldn't afford to get their marijuana. What it did is it created a tax stamp you had to have to get to have your marijuana, and they never gave the tax stamps out. Here, Rancho Cordova is talking about actually allowing these things as so long as you pay the tax. The Marijuana Tax Act was found unconstitutional when Timothy Leary sued the federal government and said that this would be a violation of our Fifth Amendment right to not incriminate yourself, because you had to bring the marijuana in to prove you had it so that you could get the stamp. But the minute you brought it in, You didn't have the stamp, you were busted. This is not at all what is being proposed with the commercial taxation and regulation under Prop 19. That is something that she refuses to acknowledge, is that all the tax and regulating powers that are afforded in Section 11302 refer to Section 11301, which is specifically the commercial regulation and taxation of cannabis. Rancho Cordova can propose taxing personal grows, but it's never going to pass getting through Prop 19 in the courts or in the appeals that would follow.
Sure. About the ability of cities to tax without limitation, that is actually written in the initiative. Under Section 11302, it says that cities will be able to adopt ordinances, regulations, or other acts to impose appropriate, general, special or excise, transfer, or transaction taxes, benefit assessments, or fees in order to permit the local government to raise revenue. Now, in California, a tax to raise revenue has no limit unless one is imposed by the law. And since Prop 19 does not enact any limits, then technically, yes, cities could tax cannabis so high that you can't afford to get high.
But here's the point here, Dragonfly, is that's all on commercial regulations. Yes, cities could come up with, it costs you $1 million to get your pot license. They could certainly do that. But that has to do with commercial, not personal grows. And as you're always fond of telling us, if you don't like it, you could always just go get your Prop 215 recommendation, couldn't you? All right, let me get the next one up here. We've got, they're not in order, unfortunately. Oh, here's Dragonfly's scare tactic about how you would be busted for carrying an ounce on your person if you couldn't prove where you got it from.
It prohibits possession of cannabis that was bought anywhere other than one of the very few licensed dispensaries. So it's a little bit misleading to say that it allows possession of 1 ounce. It allows possession of 1 ounce, but if you buy it, you have to buy it from a licensed dispensary or else you are acting illegally.
Yes, exactly. That's the point of having a regulation system, is that you're not buying it from a kid in the high school hallway. You're not buying it from some Rasta in the park. You're buying it from a licensed and regulated outlet. If you don't have any sort of punishment for people not buying it from the regulated outlets, what's the point of making the regulated outlets in the first place? Oh, my God. And furthermore, you are allowed to possess an ounce, right? That ounce doesn't have to be an ounce you purchased. Prop 19 gives you the ability to possess an ounce of your own personal harvest that you grew back in your 25 square foot space. It allows you to possess an ounce that was given to you by one of your friends that was shared, right? So if the cop does get a hold of you and you've got the ounce in your pocket and he's saying, "Where did you get that?" You bought it, you grew it yourself, or a friend gave it to you. Dragonfly wants to paint this as if you don't have a receipt on you from the Oakland mega store that you're somehow going to be hauled into jail. And I'm afraid it's just not true. Just like most of the stuff she's been saying. Let's go on here. We got a couple more. Oh, and by the way, a lot of people are asking in the chat room as to whether we'll play Chris Conrad's rebuttals. I will play the full hour of this debate in hour two so that you can hear the back and forth between Chris and Dragonfly. So we will get Chris on the air as well. Let's go to this one where she warns you that you will not be able to smoke in public.
It also prohibits smoking in public, which currently is legal under Prop 215.
It is not currently legal to smoke pot in public if you aren't a Prop 215 patient. Remember, every time you hear these people, they're speaking from the I gots mine perspective. I gots my Prop 215 recommendation. I can smoke in public. I can carry around as much as I want to. That's where they're coming from. If I, Russ Belville, healthy guy from Oregon, drives down to Los Angeles and lights up a joint on Sunset Strip, you can bet there's going to be some problems. And there should be. I don't know that we should have people just openly smoking pot everywhere out in the open in front of God and everybody. This is going to take some time to get this to that level. We've got to start with something that the general public can accept, Dragonfly, not you and me, cannabis consumers who know that it's perfectly harmless. We are asking the public here to allow the legal use of something that a lot of them consider to be an extremely dangerous drug. We are not going to jump from extremely dangerous devil weed drug from completely open, you can smoke it anywhere you like, in one election cycle. We got to go step by step here.
It prohibits parents from lighting up in their own home if someone under 21 is on the property.
No, it does not. This is her whole idea of the can't smoke in a space around a minor idea that has been blown up to the idea that somehow if you're in apartment 1C smoking a joint and there's a kid who lives in apartment 16H, somehow you're going to get busted. Well, first of all, it's not like the cops are going to be going around, you know, searching around to see who's smoking where in their homes. There'll be so many of us doing it, it won't be worth their time. But also, to think that space is going to be interpreted in such a way. The intents of this act, if you look in the purposes of intents, are to reduce the access by minors to cannabis. You know, we've got the studies that show that 85% of kids say it's easy to get and 25% of them can get it within an hour. That's what we're trying to do. So based on those intents and purposes, the courts have to look at what acts are happening that would prevent kids or possibly allow kids better access to marijuana. If you're on the 16th floor apartment and the kid's in the apartment on the first floor, that's not very likely that your use is going to cause greater access for that kid.
And it makes it a crime for young people, for adults, to hang out and smoke a joint if one of them is 18, 19, or 20 years old. These are adults we're talking about. We're not talking about minor children. We're talking about college-age university students who will face 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine for passing a joint or sharing a joint in a circle where some of the adults are 21 and over and some of the adults are under 21 but still adults.
Look, I don't like an 21-year-old age limit on cannabis. I think it should be 18. I believe if you can vote, I believe if you can carry a gun for Uncle Sam, I believe if you can smoke a cigarette, by God, you should be able to smoke a joint. But political realities being what they are, nobody in America is going to vote for a bill that makes 18 the legal age for marijuana smoking. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen. It's going to have to be 21. We're going to have to equalize this with alcohol first before we can get it down to the level of tobacco. Now, the notion that we have to worry because some 21-year-olds might be smoking joints with some 20-year-olds in a college dorm room, well, what happens if those 21-year-olds are at a keg party with a bunch of 18 to 20-year-olds? You got it. Those 21-year-olds can be locked up in jail. That's all that we are asking is the same rights that alcohol users enjoy. And if we want those same kind of rights, we also have to have those same sort of responsibilities. If you're 21 or over, you can just smoke with your older friends. You can wait till 18 to 20-year-old friends get older too, and you can all be legal. That's what we're working for here, is all of us being legal.
The question, I think, becomes whether it's a worthy trade-off to trade off for all of these prohibitions to get these very simple rights that we actually already have.
If you're a Prop 215 patient, once again, I gots mine. We don't have these rights, Dragonfly. Me and all the people that are watching on Normal Show Live right now, we don't have those rights. We'd like to be able to visit California and be safe traveling around with an ounce on us. We'd like to be able to go into certain stores where we can have a plethora of strains to choose from. We would like to be able to go to certain bars and clubs and coffee houses where the smoking of marijuana will be lawful. We would love to do that. We don't gots ours. And you're telling us that we need to vote against our own best self-interests because of your crazy phantasms about what might happen if this were interpreted that way or some city were to overtax it here. It's ridiculous. You are a traitor to the cause of marijuana legalization.
As I mentioned, the issue about the 1 ounce, I don't think there are very many pro-cannabis activists are concerned about the fact that 1 ounce maybe isn't that much. That's not the issue. The issue is that we can already carry 1 ounce without going to jail, without getting arrested, and without having a criminal record because Governor Schwarzenegger just signed the bill allowing us to.
So long as you got $100 in your pocket to pay the ticket. Every time you get caught, $100 here, $100 here, $100 here. Why should anyone be satisfied with the decriminalization that takes it down to just a ticket? And remember, if it's still illegal, it's still probable cause. They can pull you over for it if they happen to see maybe something that looks like a joint in your hand while you're driving down the road. They can harass you on the street if you smell like pot, because they still have the right to enforce that infraction. When marijuana is lawful, the smell of it is not probable cause. The sight of it is not probable cause. Growing it is not probable cause. Shopping at a grow store to get lights and bulbs and soil is no longer probable cause. There's no longer any good reason to use infrared on your house to see whether or not you're growing, because growing marijuana is legal and there is no more probable cause. It is so important that we make this lawful. And for those people who say, well, this isn't real legalization. What do you want from real legalization? Lawful is lawful. Okay? So, what are you looking for, Dragonfly?
Well, we do have the California Cannabis Hemp and Health Initiative, also known as the Jack Terror Initiative, that we're hoping to get on the ballot for 2012. And that's a much more liberal option for people who care about cannabis. The things that... were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
No, please.
Okay, sorry. The things that the California Cannabis Hemp and Health Initiative support are things that are more grassroots. It's more for the people and not about corporations. And Prop 19 is definitely geared towards corporations.
It's the corporations, man. It's all the corporations, dude. I'm reminded of the South Park episode when the hippie jam happens and it gets to be 5 miles wide and Cartman has to go in with the drill and everybody's bitching about the corporations. It always cracks me up to hear someone in the mass media complaining about corporations. Someone who's using a computer made by a corporation, on a network that's run by a corporation, on radio that's controlled by corporations. I mean, look, I'm not a big fan of over-corporatization of America either. But the notion here that we are giving the right to control the cultivation and commercial sales of cannabis to local cities is about as anti-corporate as you can get. Every city will have its own regulations, its own power to determine how the sales and the cultivation of marijuana will be transacted. And if you don't like corporations, well, then you can lobby your local city officials to make rules in such a way that corporations will not benefit. We can't give you any more power than Prop 19 is giving you. It takes it down to the smallest level. Something that I know libertarian friends of mine are always talking about, that government should happen at the closest local level it can possibly happen. That is what Prop 19 is giving you. Every city becomes an experiment on how marijuana will be taxed and regulated in a commercial sense. And of course, we also have to address the fact that Prop 19 in no way changes Prop 215. I'll say it again. Prop 19 in no way changes Prop 215. The 10 to 15 to 20% of marijuana consumers in the state of California who are currently Prop 215 patients, God bless you, you still get all the rights you've got right now. You can still grow everything that you're growing right now. You can still go to the dispensaries that you're going to right now. But Prop 19 actually helps you people, actually helps to protect medical marijuana in the state of California. For one thing, with marijuana being legal for everyone, there's no longer the incentive to try to figure out who are the criminals and who are the patients. There are no criminals anymore. We're all legal. So the incentive for law enforcement to go after the medical users drops. Dragonfly in another clip predicts about how the DEA and how the feds will come down, you know, rain down hell if Prop 19 passes. Well, if that were true, and I don't think it is, but if that were true, wouldn't they be going after the recreational ones? Wouldn't that mean they'd have less time to deal with the medical ones? Furthermore, if they do want to try to come after the legal marijuana in the state of California, Section 11303 on seizures, or is it 11304, I forget which one, on seizures specifically says that no state, county, or local law enforcement shall seize, attempt to seize, or even threaten to seize legally cultivated cannabis, cannabis seeds, or cannabis itself. They cannot help, they cannot give advice, they cannot show up with paddy wagons to help haul you off. The federal government has to do it all by itself. Now, do you think in an election after 2010, where Democratic strategists are already pointing to the Prop 19 vote, bringing out the younger voters and boosting the chances of Democrats, do you really think President Obama wants to spend a whole bunch of political capital coming down on the state with 55 electoral votes? A Democratic state, a blue state that he desperately needs to win re-election. Do you think he really wants to have that 10th Amendment fight with the state of California? It'll be interesting to see if he does, because if he does, we are willing to have that fight. There is always going to be a fight. It was always going to come down to some state trying to legalize and the federal government pushing back. I'd much rather that state is California than Vermont or Washington State or some other state that might not have the clout politically or economically to pull off this fight. You realize the state of California is the world's 8th largest economy? The world's. If it were its own country, it would be the 8th richest country in the world. It contributes between $1 to $2 trillion to the United States gross domestic product. Do you really think President Obama can afford that fight right now? I doubt it. Especially when he's got some challengers nipping at his heels here, especially like Governor Gary Johnson, if he ever announces, who are pro-marijuana and pro-legalization. Talk about the low-hanging fruit politically for the Republican Party. If they're looking to revitalize their numbers and to bring in some younger voters and some disaffected voters, boy, that might be a low-hanging fruit that they just can't resist. I'm warning you, President Obama, Prop 19 is going to change everything in this country politically when it comes to marijuana and marijuana legalization, and we are so looking forward to it.
Well,
that's enough out of you. I've heard enough of you, Stephanie, today. We got more of that coming up here in Toker Talk Radio Hour 2. Give me 5 minutes or so to pull it up, but I will pull up the entire one-hour discussion. I don't even like to call it a debate. It's a discussion between Chris Conrad and Dragonfly De La Luz, a.k.a. Stephanie Taylor, the girl who doesn't like to pay speeding tickets. Sign them, I should say. We will have that whole hour in our Toker Talk Radio. Coming up here at 2 o'clock, just a minute away. Stay tuned. Thanks for joining us this week for Cannabis Carry. I'm Radical Russ, and we'll see you next week. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it.